If you're more of a visual learner or you like seeing charts, breakdowns, and exploring other topics, check out our Student Loan Planner YouTube channel. We've got quick explainer videos, deep dives, smart money tips you can actually see in action. Just search Student Loan Planner on YouTube and hit subscribe. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. Today, I thought I would tackle something that I think is on everybody's mind. Will AI kill fill in the blank? Today, I'm going to tackle, will AI kill student loan advising? Because that is something that I've been doing for 10 years, and is it going to put me out of business? And what does it mean for borrowers getting help from AI tools? Do you even need any student loan consulting anymore? Let's not even make it about us, though. What does it mean for borrowers in general? What about you going and getting an education, getting a degree? Should you even be borrowing for that? Should you be worried if you're already a borrower and you're going for an IDR or forgiveness plan, or maybe you're refinancing your student loans, you're paying them off? Should you be worried about your career earnings and being able to make money to pay off your student loans or to pay your tax bomb or to save for retirement or whatever? And I think that's a really interesting question. So I thought I would tackle it in an episode. I thought it deserved its own episode. I've heard somebody tell one of our folks, Travis seems pretty skeptical about AI. I listened to your podcast and he seems like he's sort of dismissing it. To be fair, a year ago, I kind of did. Even a few weeks ago, I was skeptical a little bit of it. That's changed because AI is moving at the speed of light and innovation is happening on a scale of weeks and months and not years with AI. And I have to say that I am now bought in to its value, and I'll explain what changed. I started using ChatGPT like most people, right? I decided to test it with different like student loan related questions that we get from people. And I put in a question about a married filing separate like situation where somebody was on the save forbearance. I just gave it some different technical specs. And I said, calculate the payment, tell me what they should do, tell me what their filing status should be. The answer it gave was the wrong filing status. It estimated that they would save $20,000 in taxes. It was actually the reverse. They would lose $20,000 in taxes. And they would have signed up for the wrong repayment plan and cost themselves five figures. So it was like a mid five figure mistake that ChatGPT made with this fairly simple student loan prompt. I looked at the model and it said last updated on certain date, and there'd been a lot of student loan changes that had happened since the date that the model had last been trained. And so it was essentially giving outdated advice, and it was completely wrong. And I was like, oh wow, I feel pretty good about my job security here. Hey, go me. Because it's totally incorrect. So if people are going to go to ChatGPT, they're going to get bad advice because this is clearly wrong, right? Well, a lot of things changed since then. And so let me give you some examples of what's changed. Basically, there's this new update from Anthropic with Claude's product. I think it's Mythos. I have to look up the name of it. But basically, it's this first update where people are panicking because like cybersecurity folks realize that this update could exploit software vulnerabilities and systems vulnerabilities, and it creates a national security risk because this new model is so good at like hacking, basically. So it's only rolled out to like 50 organizations because they're testing it to look out for like vulnerabilities. The Secretary of the Treasury summoned all the heads of the big banks for an urgent meeting to go over like how this could pose risks to the financial system if this model got in the wrong hands. So AI is moving super fast. Now, I have tested Claude and ChatGPT, and I actually think, it's interesting that recently OpenAI missed its mark for new revenue growth and new subscriber growth. And I think probably the reason is because I think Claude is a lot better, especially for workplace applications where you're doing a lot of data analysis. So I ran survey analysis for our recent survey data through Claude to try to analyze different things that would have taken me maybe a couple hours or a few hours to analyze in the past. And not only did it do it in a few minutes, it got it all correct. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that was my like wake up moment, seeing that it actually went from not being able to do very much data analysis a year ago with AI tools, and now it can. And I think Claude is outpacing ChatGPT, just from at least from my vantage point, substantially. With this latest rollout of the Mythos model, what is happening is AI is getting better and very quickly getting better. So the old joke is like there's like AI vomit, right? Where it just outputs the entire meeting transcript. If you query the meeting transcript as to what happened, it's going to tell you a bunch of garbage and it's not even that helpful. But now that's not true anymore. Now I pulled up a transcript from a financial planner meeting and wanted to evaluate, hey, where did this planner do well? Where did the planner not do as well? And it spit out an analysis, and it was correct. It was accurate. It was what I got gathered after, you know, from watching the meeting for an hour. And so that's startling. I mean, it is so powerful and so good. We are testing these different AI models across the board. Now, where am I like careful about this? Well, a couple things. AI tools don't think creatively. They're not able to come up with like original ideas that well compared to humans right now. What it does do really well is take anything that's been done before and create new tools based off of structures that have been created before. That's kind of interesting because it says that the value of new ideas and new strategies and new loopholes and thinking up new ways of looking at things is even more valuable than it used to be. In terms of folks who are going for degrees, you know, borrowing 4 degrees, there are a lot of professional fields that I think are going to be very well insulated because of regulatory and legal reasons from worrying about AI competition, right? So for example, average workers are going to have a lot harder time in the age of AI. I think it's going to be another superstar effect, which is historically, if you look at like Michael Jordan, why did Michael Jordan make so much more money than Bill Russell, the star of the Celtics that won like a ton of NBA championships back in, I think, the 60s or something like that? And then Michael Jordan comes around and, you know, is very dominant like Bill Russell, but makes way more money. And why? It's because of cable TV and the internet, right? Because it takes his product, being an elite basketball player, and shares it at a much larger scale in a much larger way. And it made the chasm between the highest paid NBA player and the lowest paid NBA player exponentially larger because the returns from being the best were way higher. And you see the superstar effect that increases inequality. And you've seen this all throughout the 90s and 2000s with the internet. With the AI, I think it's going to be similar in a lot of different fields. I think the returns from being, you know, a top 25% practitioner are going to continue to grow, and people are going to continue to make more money from that. And folks who are average or below average in their fields are going to potentially lose their jobs or make less money. That's a broad level, though. But what about for specific professional fields? Again, like if there's laws and rules that prevent AI from doing certain tasks, right? Like maybe AI one day can do surgery well. Maybe there's laws that prevent it, and therefore we still have to have professionals in those fields that do those procedures anyway, right? Maybe AI is simply assisting really excellent surgeons or dentists or whatever to do certain procedures, but not other higher risk procedures. So maybe it just makes it more efficient to do certain kinds of very rapid kind of things. Maybe it does none of that. Who knows, right? But we are still very, very early at this. And I think, you know, look, I would rather be somebody with a professional degree, like a physician, dentist, veterinarian, with AI coming into play. I would much rather have that security of a professional degree after my name than not, all things equal, right? Like if I have the option to go to medical school or to be a, you know, corporate employee in a pharmaceutical company, and those are my two options, the corporate employee in the pharmaceutical company has a much higher chance of being negatively impacted by AI and potentially losing your job to AI. What happens if AI can run pharmaceutical trials like almost all on its own? Or what if like what used to take a team of 10 maybe takes a team of 2 or 3 to run the same amount of work at the pharmaceutical company? That's potentially possible. Whereas a physician, because of restrictions, regulations, you know, professional boards, right, state laws, insurance reimbursement patterns, like you've got more protection as a physician than you do as a corporate worker that doesn't have like licensing, board requirements, things like that. The returns from education from professional degrees are the same or more. For lawyers, for example, well, what about lawyers? That's something that you might feel like could easily be disrupted. I think that you're going to, again, see maybe more of a superstar effect in legal fields, potentially, than you maybe would in medical fields, where there's maybe more insulation from that. Now, not, maybe not, because you know you have to have a lawyer to have certain things be legal to do. You have to get representation from an actual lawyer and not just like an AI lawyer. That doesn't exist. Maybe for like the low-hanging fruit, you know, there might be some negative impact in the legal profession from people like seeking out online tools that'll do things for them. But that's already kind of happening. Like if you think about like Trust and Will, maybe Wealth.com or something, I think there's a couple ones like that that'll do like a few $100 basic wills for cheap without any kind of like hiring a lawyer needed almost. but they're not taking over super complex estate work, right? Like if anything, the price for those services just keeps going up. So it's just sort of taking away the low hanging fruit. The stuff that's easy to automate away is being automated away. Just for fun, what about the future of student loan advice? What is you know, is Student Loan Planner just going to go the way of the dodo bird because nobody needs student loan help anymore because AI is either going to provide it or loans are going to be super simple and people won't need help? What I will say to that is if that happens, that's okay. I will open up a telescope shop in the mall and sell 8-inch Dobsonians and, you know, it'll be great. It'll be wonderful. I'll get one customer a day. Maybe I'll sell to 1 in 10 of those people. I'm just joking. But like, we all have to be humble and realize that innovation happens and it doesn't care how you feel about it. Things occur. And if my job and company gets competed away because there's innovation, like, so be it, right? I don't think it will. And I think that a couple of reasons why, and this maybe is helpful maybe to the other people that listen to this that maybe have businesses they run or something. I think that AI is an opportunity if you just think about, well, what can this do well? What can this not do well? I've never been one of these people that's like, oh, let's use these new technologies for absolutely everything. Because I think that there's a transformative impact from talking to another human who's an expert in their field when you have big uncertainty, anxiety, and maybe even fear in your life and you need to make a decision. There's something deeply comforting to talking to somebody that has done something thousands of times. And you say, as an expert, what should I do? There's something deeply comforting in knowing that somebody has done a huge number of these consultations and getting advice from a true expert instead of an AI that may or may not be right on one of the most important decisions of your life. So from that perspective, I think that the human impact is going to exist for many, many years. So I'm not necessarily worried about that. In some ways, maybe getting advice from an actual human makes it even more special because we're so used to calling and getting the robot voice or talking to this fake AI that's just regurgitating, you know, things that it finds on the internet, basically, right? Which may or may not be correct. Student loans are constantly changing every few years. At least that's been the pattern for the past 20 years. Doesn't mean it's always going to be the case. If student loans stay super simple in the sense of like after the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, it's like wrap plan or pay it off. And those are the two options. There's still tons of things you could do with consolidating at the right time, strategizing to get maximum interest subsidies. You know, if you're going to refinance, when do you do it? How do you file your tax returns? How do you deal with prior loans? You know, what do you, and you know, from a pre-debt perspective or current borrower perspective, you know, how do you handle federal versus private loans? Should you take out private loans for certain fields? There's a lot of deep questions that are going to need to be answered that are not like easily findable from AI that people are going to be able to know for sure that they can get quality answers from those things. And then what'll probably happen if history is any guide is Democrats will eventually win one of the two houses of Congress and maybe they'll win the White House. And then you're going to be facing down the barrel of hundreds of thousands of Parent Plus borrowers defaulting because the law was written in a really flawed way by blocking Parent Plus from all income-based repayment plans after 2026 that have, you know, not already gotten consolidations and finished before then, right? That's the requirement for Parent Plus is you have to finish the consolidation before July 1. But for people after that, you're going to have mass defaults on Parent Plus loans if people didn't do those things. You're going to have people that can't get educations because they're going to need to turn to the private market if they want to borrow more than $50,000 for med, dental, vet school and more than $20,000 for a lot of other degrees. People won't be able to get that financing in a lot of circumstances. And so then people will be, you know, really adrift and questioning everything, wondering, how do I make my life better? You know, how do I go get a higher education? How do I do this? What might happen is you might see, if you have a Democratic administration, you might see the return of the SAVE plan. You might see a return of maybe if not unlimited borrowing, at least maybe twice or as much as what people can take out right now. And if that happens, you know, the rules are changed again. So I would say you're probably going to continue to have mass disruption in federal student loan policy probably for years. And that's going to create confusion. It's going to create frustration, right? It's going to create chaos. Also, eventually, people will need to prepare for forgiveness, and there's going to be tax strategizing that will need to happen for that if the tax bomb hasn't gone away. There's also people that are going to need to be able to file appeals for their forgiveness count credit with, you know, the IDR account adjustment probably in some cases being incorrectly applied and not people not getting enough forgiveness credit. So there's probably going to need to be forgiveness auditing services at some point so that borrowers can get an independent review of their files to get an estimate of what they should actually have in credit instead of what Department of Ed says that they should get. So I think that there's a lot of room for the future being chaotic. And another positive, I guess, from a student loan planner perspective is it has taken us years to negotiate all these discounts and bonuses for people that use stuff from our site, like studentloanplanner.com/refi. We've got the highest cash bonuses on the internet that I'm aware of for student loan refinancing. You know, that happens because we have built relationships with all these lenders over years, and we give a big chunk of what we earn in those two back to borrowers. That's something that, you know, AI is not going to do, at least not obviously. Another couple things too, you know, we're also trying to pilot bonuses for private student loans, for practice loans. Basically, the only time we don't give like rebates for something is if it's like banned by law. So for example, like disability insurance, you're literally banned from rebating commissions. So it's like literally illegal to compete on price for disability insurance services, which is hilarious because it's like anti-consumer. Now they would say, well, we want to make sure people don't buy the wrong kind of disability insurance. We don't incentivize that. Sure, I think it has more to do with just preventing any competition on price. So we looked into that. You can't do it. So that's why everybody's, you know, trying to do lunch and learns and trying to differentiate themselves in service levels and expertise levels. And it's why you see so many disability places like advertising everywhere. It's just because it's like you can't compete on price. So like you compete on service and brand and things like that. So by the way, if you need an occupation disability insurance, definitely go on our website and click on the insurance disability insurance section and get a quote from us, because I think we can give you the best deal or tell you where the better deal is if it's not us. You know, in terms of AI and the future, I think that we have to be humble. I think we have to be open to changing our opinions. I think we have to be trying things out. I think that we should be experimenting, but also not expecting that it's going to be that different from how the internet transformed things, which means that it did transform things. You can't live under a rock. It is going to transform things, but I think it's going to increase the superstar effect, increase inequality. It's going to increase, I think, probably political unrest and unease, because a lot of people that are not superstars in their fields, right? Because by definition, the most people are not superstars in their fields. That's just the percentages of things, right? And, you know, obviously voting is a 51% operation. So if you have even a small number of people, 10, 20% of the workforce lose their jobs because of AI, that's going to create a massive amount of political unease and unrest, right? And it might be the case that AI is going to, you know, increase economic growth, increase stock returns, all those sorts of things. But think about, you know, stuff like happened with free trade and globalization in the 2000s and 90s. What did that do? It took a lot of jobs away and like, sort of the quote-unquote Rust Belt, like more working class areas of the country where people really did suffer a lot from going from high-income factory workers to not having jobs in a lot of cases, and it fueled sort of the sort of more protectionism kind of attitudes, right? So I think that we'll see all kinds of political changes due to AI. What is it good at? What is it not good at? I mean, I just remember that, you know, a year ago, I asked it to do a spreadsheet, create a spreadsheet to model something. And, it, you know, ChatGPT couldn't do it at all. It was terrible. The spreadsheet was awful. Then I had Claude and I said, Claude, can you, you know, I was hanging out with some buddies and we said, like, can this make a PSLF calculator? Now, it wasn't as good as ours that we spent time building, luckily, but it made it kind of a half decent one. It wasn't great, but it was like half decent, and it did it in 5 minutes. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is unreal, right? This is unreal. But again, for now, AI is really good at the, you know, very basic, here's the will, the one fits size fits all will that everybody needs, like the trustandwill.com kind of thing, where it's doing those things pretty well, but it can't do the complex stuff very well that's in a trustworthy way. So that's just some of my thoughts right now about the state of things with AI and student loans. I think the summary would be, yes, go get your education. Yes, go get a degree that will help protect you against the future. Don't be afraid of using AI, but don't over rely on it, because it still needs, you still need actual intelligence, human intelligence, to verify that what it says makes sense, because it doesn't always do that. And for Student Loan Planner, we are going to continue soldiering on as long as there is a need for us. And if there's ever not a need for us, then I will go start the telescope shop in the mall, and I'm okay with that. But I think for at least the next several years, there's a strong need for us. So thank you for listening to Student Loan Planner. If you need a student loan plan, studentloanplanner.com/book. If you need comprehensive financial planning that will focus on wealth growth and managing different aspects of your financial life for you and with you, then go to slpwealth.com and you can also check out our financial planning service there. Don't be scared by AI. Let's just humbly experiment with it, innovate with it, and realize that it's going to be a new world and we might as well be part of it, right? So thanks for listening to the SLP podcast. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you for listening to this show. If you are not already getting our weekly newsletter every Thursday, you are missing out. We break down student loan news, updates, money tips, all in one helpful newsletter. Sign up for free at studentloanplanner.com/newsletter if you're not already getting these important weekly updates every Thursday.